Hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Plumbing and HVAC Hustle podcast. And today I have Michelle Leigh Myers on.
Hey.
From Pink Callers. And we're excited to talk about how to know if leads are falling through the cracks.
Ooh, let's do it.
Yes. Could you give me a minute or two background, just you and why you're doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. My company, Pink Callers, supplies remote CSRs and dispatchers to your business. And so we are a very intuitive and customizable model. So we put one person on your account to answer your phones and texts, emails, and run your CRM directly in all of the tools that you use as a business.
Awesome. How did you come to that? Like, what happened in your life that was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do remote CSRs.
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, in the change in our economy in 2008, 2009, I found myself without a job. And back before Craigslist was weird, I answered a Craigslist ad for a tree service company, husband and wife, that showed up at my apartment, knock, 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 with a clamshell phone, yes, I am dating myself, and a Dell laptop with all of their customers on it. I used an Excel spreadsheet, Gmail, and a Google Calendar to run their tree service business to scale, and then they eventually sold it. So doing that, it made me realize that there were a lot of other people in my position that may have kids, family, or circumstances that needed them to work at home. This is way before the cloud, and that's how I got started.
Awesome. So the title is in my first question, which is, how do you know if leads are falling through the cracks?
Well, if you're using a good CRM and flowing all of your leads through it, you should have the data and you should be looking at the data as a business owner every single week. So the tools that you use really do dictate how fast leads can get slipped through your fingers. And so a good CRM will really help you in that regard.
Awesome. Like, is there any like signs that you'd say like you're definitely dropping the ball? Like if you're looking at your CRM and you're seeing non-booked calls or that's what they're looking for?
Well, we call it close rate.
Yeah.
So how many leads are converting, so or conversion rate. And so that conversion rate is really important. In HVAC, plumbing, electrical, we really want that rate to be in the double digits. We want it to be 70, 80, 90%. And your super high-level plumbing and HVAC companies are going to be in the 80 to 90% range collectively all the time.
That's incredible.
It is.
I love it. Okay, so what systems can you put in place to better capture leads?
Well, first of all, the CRM, like I mentioned, is critical. So you have to have a really powerful one, whether it's ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, Jobber, there's all kinds out there. ServiceTitan has a really holistic approach, though, and so it's going to capture that data in a way that's going to be easy for you to digest it as a business owner. You're not going to have to do spreadsheets and calculations and exports and imports and all of that difficult stuff. You're going to make it really easy on yourself by using a really good CRM. In addition to that, having incredible people that are trained and supported is the key to having anything good going on in customer service.
And how can you use remote customer service reps to streamline operations while maintaining a personal connection? Because I know that that's something you guys kind of specialize in, is like still bringing that personalized approach.
It is. Well, the differentiator for us is that we assign one person to your account, so that person becomes part of your team and your culture. So we connect with you on Slack and Trello and all the tools that we use to make sure that we understand your culture, we understand your team. We actually encourage our team members to attend team huddles, stand-ups in the morning, weekly meetings if you have them for your team and customer care. Yeah, we just dial in remotely on Zoom. And so we really encourage that connection because at the end of the day, we are all in the people business.
So it's kind of like almost like a fractional employee.
It really is. It's like a fractional, remotely located employee. And I hire them, train them, support them, fire them, and do all of that more challenging piece, so that you can place them in your business where it makes sense to you. So whether they are part of that frontline team, you know, that first call center team member that answers the call, whether they're a backup, whether we're nights and weekend service, anywhere that you need to place us in the call flow for your company, we can support you there.
How is that different than some of the other options out there on the market?
Well, it's different because it's that one individual, correct? Yeah. And so that really does make a huge difference. We're not a room full of strangers. And everybody in our organization that answers the phones Monday through Friday is a U.S.-based team member. So there's that, too, and I think that's important.
Oh, massively. All right, so the next section of this is called Hot Takes and Cold Trends.
Mm.
And so what is an opinion that you have that might be controversial about the industry?
Ooh, controversial? know that I have much about controversial. Come on. I think that we can learn from other industries. I think HVAC, plumbing, and electric, you guys have so much good best practice groups, accountability, trade shows like this, a lot of learning and education. But there are other industries that really you can learn from. So I love cleaning because they've learned how to do recurring revenue and cleaning clean, right? And so that recurring revenue, putting people on service contracts, doing membership programs, anything like that that you can build in that some other industries really thrive on is really beneficial for your business. I don't think that's controversial,
no,
though.
No, but I
making
love that.
Money is not controversial.
I tell you, pay attention to other industries. Don't think it's only your industry
it's
that has
not.
Good stuff.
No, so, yeah. And people in your community can really share that. So if you're in a local group, a business group, get with that guy that does, you know, paver sealing or power washing or, you know, floor coatings. Talk to that person about their revenue and how they match their customers to their services. You can always learn something.
Oh, absolutely. All right, cold trends. What is something that people are wasting time, money, energy, or effort on that maybe they should stop?
Ooh, they are allowing the lack of capacity in their call center to impact their bottom line. So capacity means what can a CSR or a dispatcher accomplish in the day? We've trended and measured this for many, many, many years. We believe that a regular team member, CSR on the phones, can take between 70 and 80 calls a day. That means that that's the amount of capacity that they have. If your call center is trending lower than that on a really regular basis, it's time for you to remove one of those CSRs and put them on outbounding. Outbounding is absolutely critical to rehashing your leads that are coming in that you may not have closed and to actually just touching those customers again in your community. So pull one of your CSRs 2 hours a week, 4 hours a week, really do some time blocking with them, give them a list of call folks to call, and again, connect with your customers on that outbound. That's something that I think we get lost in because we let the volume sort of get in the way of us in the day-to-day. And so pulling one CSR off your team is really important. That is a service that Pink Collars actually offers now, which is just outbounding by blocked hours. So you can purchase that from us if you don't have somebody in your office. But we really find that the payback on those hours is immense because people just need to be reminded of your service and reminded of the call and reminded that you're there.
Awesome. And I know that this is, so we have another section called There's Money in the Phones.
By
Power Selling Pros.
I love it.
I know that this relates to what you do. So, and this whole thing is about answering the phones. But is there a quick tip that you could give that people should get more out of their call answering systems?
Well, Power Selling Pros, we work with them closely. They teach and coach some of our team members. So I love those guys. So getting a best practice organization like Power Selling Pros or coaching organization in your business is highly influential to the entire team. And don't think of it like a punishment. Don't make your CSRs feel like, oh, we've got to get coached now. They're bringing this in and it's going to be scary. It's actually of a benefit to them. And the moment that they have those skills, they will feel so much more empowered to make better decisions on the phone and to really own the call. Remember, the person that's asking the questions is the one that's in control of the conversation. Kind of like a podcast.
That's good. You
know,
I've heard that before, but for some reason that just sunk in for me. That is absolutely true. And I love how you're relating this to just your CSR should be focused on that, right?
Yep. Answering those questions, asking those questions and being in control of the call.
All right. What tools are you guys using? Like is your team using? Mm-hmm. And then what are you recommending for people regarding their, is there anything you install, or you recommend installing, like softwares or anything else that's a tool in these systems?
Sure. Well, because we work remotely, communication is key. And we require that if you work with us, that you have Slack. Okay. And so whether you have your own Slack environment, you invite us to it, or we are new introduction people to Slack to you. If you don't have Slack, we get it installed in your business. And we find that that has just changed the game for working remotely. So having people connected, doing video chat, audio notes, messages in the field, and all of that is really important. So having that constant stream of communication to that remote team member on our side is really important.
Awesome. What else? Is there anything else that you recommend internally at companies that they often are like, huh?
They're like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, we do actually. Well, oftentimes companies will have all of their documents and collateral, whether it's training materials, SOPs, Word tracks, any sort of scripting. They have all of that in a Word document. And I hate to break it to you, but CSRs are actually very visual and auditory people. Did you know that the majority of my team are gamers? They really love video games. People that are in customer service really love different types of reality. They love colorful things and graphics, and a lot of my people are artists or painters or musicians. So I found that when you think of that as the CSR, what they really need is to be engaged fully in their job to continue being, you know, committed to it. So we bring Trello into their system, and Trello is a free board based software. It's absolutely free. It's online. And we essentially put all of those documents and SOPs and all of the things that happen in the business, whether it's the services or the frequently asked questions, all the things that come through on the phone in a Trello board, so that when that CSR is engaged with their ears, because they're listening to the customer, their eyes, they're looking at the typewriter, the computer, right? Their hands, because they're typing, and their mouth, because they're speaking, they can just easily pivot to a second screen and see everything in a graphic form. So in customer asks, you know, do you do tankless water heaters? They can go to that screen, they can go to water heaters, they can click on tankless water heaters, and they can answer that question so easily. So they're constantly building that library of frequently asked questions as the questions are coming in, and we find that the technicians and the owners can then answer them in a digital way so that the next time they don't have to ask the question again.
I love it. Okay, yeah. So the next one is, what are the common pitfalls in adopting remote customer care, and how can they be avoided?
Well, the common pitfalls are not connecting with that person as a human being, not seeing that vendor like Pink Collars or someone else as actually a person, and seeing them just as a vendor that you use and you just outsource that and outsource it away, right? Remember that we're all connected human beings. And so the more the business owner or whoever their main contact is at their company engages with our team, shares information with our team, meets with our team regularly if that needs to happen, and gets on video and actually has conversations, the better impact we seem to have on the business. So that human connection, despite our distance, is still very important.
What he does is he teaches the most valuable team in your business. He'll just add nothing but profit.
There's so much money left in the call center. So much money. If you're not at a 90% booking rate, showing empathy on the phone, smiling on the phone, making sure they're having a better day after they got off the phone with you, then you need to call Power Selling Pros and see Brigham.
That's good. That's good. Any other pitfalls?
I would say not sharing the technology with some of the technicians. We do have a lot of technicians that don't like Slack. They don't want to be on Slack. They feel like they just like to text people things. And I find that as a business scales, of course, texting works great if it's just you and I chatting. But if you and I are chatting and then someone else in the organization needs to understand what we're communicating about or help us in something, the text really does not, it doesn't scale. And so Slack, having that transparency, is really important, because if that person moves on, if that technician or the person in the office or somebody like Pink Collars moves on, then you have understanding of how that relationship was built, what those conversations may have been, how that communication cadence went. And Slack has so many great automations that can really help bolster up the communication on both sides to remind people of things. Hey, don't forget to clock out. Hey, don't forget to close out your jobs for the day. And it just really helps to shore up the people that are in that communication stream.
Perfect. How do you measure success? Like, what are your metrics around remote customer care? Mm-hmm. And how are you measuring and improving metrics?
Mm-hmm. Well, our conversion rate is critical. So we really look at that with our CSRs. We measure just like any other company would measure. And we have access to all of the CRM information. So we really look at call answer rate, conversion rate, booking rate, anything like that that any other business owner would check, we do. But also just being there, you know, being on time, being accountable, being in every single stand-up, and we have one every single day at 8 o'clock in every time zone. So you're required to get on camera in Zoom and say good morning to everybody and be a part of just a 2 or 3 minute meeting saying hello to everyone. And that cadence, again, makes it feel less remote and you're not on an island.
Hmm.
So.
That's good. What are your like favorite customers have in common? And like, ooh, if you don't mind, like just telling like a few stories,
sure,
about like, ideally HVAC or plumbing companies,
sure,
that like you feel like it works well, what you're doing them and, mm-hmm, what is working well about it? Like what makes them a great customer?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So great customers already have some sort of a call center in their business, right? Whether it's an in-person team member, an in-person spouse, an in-person, you know, family member, they have somebody on the phones already and they've started the process of answering their phones. Sometimes they have 2 or 3 people, and that's when it really is good. They've either run out of physical space, they've run out of capacity in their systems, they don't have anywhere to put another human being and they want to scale, or it's really successful when somebody tucks in or acquires a business. We can fully answer the phones for that new company, start to put all of that data into their new systems, and help them with that sort of painful or awkward transition, because they may not have the staff in their existing business to take that tuck in and have to stop in the middle of the stream and train people. So they can bring on a company like ours, we can put somebody in the seat, and then take over that capacity for them. So that's a really nice place for us to come in.
Hmm. I want to ask about challenging customers.
Yeah.
Like what's not a good customer? What's not a good customer for prank callers?
I think not a good customer is anybody that has any real deep seasonality. So we don't work outside in any of the outside industries anymore. We've learned that really high season and that really, really low season are really painful for us.
Mm.
Because we bring on people and we commit to them to 40 hours a week. We commit to them to having a job. And so when the seasonality is really hard, business owners make the very understandable choice to sort of cut back on any of the services that they have. So that's not a great ideal customer for us. A person that is run through several CSRs, that's a question we ask in our sort of discovery call.
Keep someone?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so we ask that, are you a bad or a challenging or a difficult employer, right? And I can
usually... Did they ever tell you the truth?
We've had the truth come out. Yeah, we have. And it's been really interesting. The ones that have said, yes, I am that person, it's been really nice to be able to turn them and say, okay, here's what we expect. We don't need you to train or to be super, super sweet and mushy and super supportive. That's what Pink Collars is for. That's what my leadership team is for. What we really need you to do is just communicate clearly what your expectations are so that we can meet your expectations. And then once they understand that they don't have to be all things to all people, it really takes them off the hook. And a lot of these people are incredible leaders and incredible business owners. They just may have communication issue or they just may have a people issue. And to be fair, it's really true. CSRs are a completely different breed than a business owner. I say it all the time in my business that I'm kind of the odd man out in my company. I'm a visionary and I'm an artistic and I have a lot of ideas that I'm doing all the time.
But it led to this beautiful coat that you got.
Stop it. I told your wife earlier, I was like, I don't know if this coat is cool or if I look like a couch. I'm not sure.
This coat is badass.
Sure.
Let's be honest about that.
Thank you. Okay, so it's not giving a couch vibe?
No.
Okay, good. But I think that when you take those troublesome people and turn them, it's really beneficial. And people love helping. Mm. At the end of the day, everybody wants to help each other. And so when I go to that person and they say, yeah, I can't keep a person. I say, well, it's because a CSR typically likes the similar job every day. They like to check a box. They like to cross off things on a list. They like to get things done. And when I say that to that business owner, they're like, well, I'm not like that at all. Well, no wonder you couldn't keep someone because you're trying to live in a world that you don't understand. So why don't you let us translate for you? We'll get a CSR on your behalf. When you need to be a maniac and be a visionary and need to get all hyped up on stuff, give me a call. We'll talk you through it. But other than that, we can help translate a lot of that sort of friction in that relationship.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is just certain types of roles that you're hiring for in your business that require a little bit of a softer touch?
There are.
It sounds like CSRs can be one of those.
100%.
Because if they are a personable person with like some a little bit of emotional needs.
Sure, a little empathy, sure.
Like, they might want just a little less, like sometimes when we're dealing with contractors and you're talking to technicians or like plumbers or whatever it is,
sure.
There is a little bit of crunchiness happens,
yeah.
But you have rapport with them, so it's okay.
Sure.
And so it sounds like you're kind of like, yeah, you're helping them manage that softness a little bit.
Yeah, and it's good. I mean, we use a really cool tool called HireBus, and we test all of our applicants. And so we only hire about 1% of the people that come through. We get a little over 100 applicants a day to Pink Collars to work remotely for us. And about 1%, like I said, get through the door. So we're really looking at all of those different skills. And we're really looking at how they're going to fit in our ecosystem. And then conversely, how they're going to fit in yours. And so we've benchmarked our entire team. We're on year 2 of benchmarking our team. And now we know kind of what we're looking for, what types of skills and personal traits we're looking for in an individual, and we've had really good success now that we're benchmarking and testing everybody.
People are tough
to
manage. I'm sure you have things that you have to deal with these folks, but can I ask just like what are some threads? Just let's talk about CSRs in general.
Sure.
What are some threads that lead to being a good CSR? What are some personality traits that you've seen work really well?
A good CSR has really good personal adjustment, and that is a psychological term. I'm not going to go super deep, but it means that they are not going to be negatively impacted by somebody who might be upset on the phone or by somebody who might be super happy and like crazy on the phone. They're going to have really good personal emotional adjustments. So they're just going to kind of be even Steven, right? My husband's one of these people. He's like even Steven. Me, I'm like this, woo, woo, right?
Yeah.
And so totally opposite of me. And so personal adjustment is something I really look for in a CSR, because that's something means that they're just going to be steady Eddies. They're just going to do that job and they're going to do it really, really well. Leadership skills, we do look for them in CSRs. We also look for a tiny little bit of aggression, which is funny because if you're going to be a dispatcher, you actually have to have more of a sales cadence to you. You have to be a little bit more of a closer and like get things in the schedule, and you have to be a little bit more proactive, so a little bit more sales related there. And so fine-tuning what the customer or the client needs in their business versus the CSR that I'm going to place in their in their company, I really need to kind of know what type of business they are. Are they a, you know, enterprise business, 10, 20, 30 million? Do they just need a body in the seat? Are they 2 to 5 million where this person is like a massively important hire and they have to have this person be all, you know, be the everything? And so getting that information off that discovery call is really important because then I can customize who we're looking for and I can direct our HR, people ops, we call it, people operations. I can direct that division of the business to really focusing on what this client is going to need. I think it's also really important that we hire people within the time zone that they work. And I know that seems weird, but, you know, people shouldn't really be working like 11 to 8 and 12 to 9 and all these wild hours. I think it's really hard on people, especially people that are dealing with the general public. Like if you're doing a different kind of job, maybe, but in the general public realm, you need to work business hours and be working at your best case that when the sun is up, you know.
Well, I've listened to a lot of calls.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I, you know, sometimes we'll listen to them when like somebody's unhappy and I'm just trying to understand like,
sure,
what does the call quality look like? Like let's, and we do listen to calls,
sure,
as part of our process. And we see what's a real lead and what's not.
Sure.
And I've, you know, some calling answering services are not great.
Yeah.
And I like to say the least. And I like, listen, and I'm hearing like distress or like discomfort or just not, basically not having experienced good customer service themselves.
Sure.
And I hate to, like, it's hard to bring up the like different country stuff, but like,
sure,
there is an element of like, if they haven't experienced, like, we have certain expectations.
Yeah, in the United States,
in the United
absolutely
States, like,
sure,
that come through, and like, so it's not just about, it's just different cultural expectations.
Absolutely.
And I've experienced, like, I've listened to this, and I'm like, like, this person sounds like kind of mad.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I'm not like, I'm like, we actually, we have, in this case, it's like, you have a choice between two home service businesses.
Sure.
If this one's warm and friendly and this one's just kind of like.
Transactional.
Super transactional. That's a really nice way to put it. Transactional. Then obviously I'm going to have an opinion.
Sure.
So like if they do any shopping around at all and you've got like this super transactional thing going on. And that's true for, like, you don't have to, I mean, I listen to calls where it's a person in the office.
Woo!
And they're frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, right, like it's not just out there, but I'm saying that it matters.
It absolutely matters. And I think the important part is that we're doing a very intimate job. Right? HVAC, plumbing, electrical, we're in your business. Like, we're in your house. Like, it doesn't get any more intimate than that. We're in your house working on your stuff, you know, wandering around, like, fixing things. And so when we're the customer service point of contact for that intimate experience of having someone come to your home, you're the homeowner now, right? If you have to talk to someone, you have to consider that the person that's representing this business that you're speaking to represents the tone and care and cadence of that technician that's going to drive down your driveway in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that there's some sort of connection between those two. That the transactional doesn't represent, you know, Joe, who you know from church, who shows up, right? Oh, I didn't know you worked for them, right? And so you really have to thread it through as a business owner. I call it architecture, right? I was in architecture and design for years. And you have to decide that not every single material, right, or not every single seat in your business can be filled with just any old person. The human component is critical. You know, it's not just a tile floor versus a marble floor. It's a tile. It's a big choice when you have this person on your phones, and they do really represent your company out there in so many ways that you probably can't even quantify.
And like, this brings me to my next question, because why are you more expensive?
Why am I more expensive?
Yeah.
I'm more expensive because when you hire me.
I love this question.
You love this one? I love it. It's my favorite.
I hope you feel good about it.
Oh, no, I'm happy. I'm thrilled. I'm more expensive because when you hire one of our CSRs, you're actually hiring three people. And you don't even know that you're hiring three people, but you're actually hiring three people.
Mm-hmm.
You're hiring the one CSR that answers your phone Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 in your time zone. You're hiring her team success manager that is right underneath her, supporting her or him. And whenever she or he is gone or sick or something happens, the team success manager just goes boom right into that place. So you never have a disruption in your service. That's key. That person absolutely, the team success manager actually trains your CSR. So you have two people that fully know your account from top to bottom every day. And if person A is gone, person B jumps right in. So that's first person. The second person is you have a client success manager. This is a person that's in charge of you and the relationship that we have with you as a company. So if you need to flip out or you need to change something or you need to run a special or you're having a coupon or you need to work on membership sales, if you have something as a business owner that you need to get to us, you have a client success manager that takes all that information, distills it down so the team understands, and then your CSR gets dispatched to doing that work, right? And that translation, again, is so critical because not only does the higher level person, the client success manager, understand and speak more language like a business owner, but the team success person knows how to distill it down, train it, and then support that person in activating that new thing that you need to have done in your business. And then also, if you have an issue with somebody on our team, if you have an issue with the CSR answering your phones, like, oh, I wish they would say this, or I wish they would tweak that, you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to slack them. You know, you stink. It's really nice to be able to have that intermediary in there to be able to say, can she or he work on this, or can you do this, or can you add that? And you don't have to feel bad about that. And then also, you don't have to manage it or train it, which is the time suck that happens with the business owner, is you have to stop everything as a business owner and go, okay, let's go down here and let's talk about this, right? You don't have to do that. You have to quickly just tell us what you need, and those two people around the CSR deploy that new information to them.
I love it. My next question for you is, are you involved with women in HVAC?
I am.
Awesome.
I love those guys.
Awesome. What is your what is your take on, like, being focused on industries, like, because there's other options out there that are like that don't have the context.
Sure.
So what do you think about the having the context? How does that help you that your company really has context mm-hmm. on these industries and like is involved?
It absolutely has helped my business in many ways, but it's helped my people in many ways. It's given us access to teaching and hot seats and Zoom calls and a book club and all kinds of really good materials for my people so that they're better leaders. I'm really grateful for women in HVACR because they really understand that women have a place in every aspect of the business, whether it's owner, CSR, dispatcher, tradesperson, technician, helper, whatever it is. There's a place for women in every aspect of HVACR, electrical and plumbing. But I love their focus. They're super focused, and they're going about an inch wide and a mile deep, which I just love.
I love it. And I mean, I'm excited. I mean, we're a sponsor of the, I think at your suggestion.
Oh, good. Oh, yes. I know. I told you to come.
I appreciate you introducing us. And, you know, we're half women owned. My wife is an owner with me. And
of course.
We're also half women.
I love the back of your shirt, by the way. Did anybody see that?
Yeah, probably not on the podcast.
I mean, not on the podcast, but it says Powered by Women.
Powered by Women.
And, Hook Agency. I think it's pretty good.
I think part of it is like, well, I love organizations like that. And then also I'm just excited to kind of be part of it because I'm also, if we really look at it, a lot of businesses like this are built with a lot of women helping build it. And sometimes 100%. Us dudes, and nothing wrong with dudes, but we just put ourselves out front. Like we're kind of like, you know, like, but recognizing the truth that there's a lot of women that are like powering a lot of these companies and like recognize what you have in your awesome women, like and how big of an asset they are and the strengths.
Yeah.
And for me, that's kind of what I've been excited about this month, just like kind of being talking about it and being part of it, and also why we made these shirts. But it's also because, I'll be real, women are much better about sharing when they're gifted something.
They we are pretty open about that. That's the one good thing that I can say about women in HVACR too. They do not hold back in their gift giving and in their collateral giving and in their connections and relationship building. I mean, I just got invited to something tonight with Women in HVACR and I was like, are you sure you want me to come to that? And they're like, yeah, Michelle, come. You're a great asset. You got to give us your input. So they really do listen and ask good questions. And I think that's going to be to their success.
And I just, you know, good moment to just talk about the organizations in the industry that are, for women, by women, women in HVACR. There's E3. There's what is the other one? There's one that just came out that's for technicians.
I'm not sure. Well, there's Lady Titans.
Service Titan has one. There's a few other ones.
There's Lady Pros from House Call Pro.
So basically, just look out there, find these little organizations that are involved with that stuff because I think that it's just nice to be around and talk amongst yourselves. I mean, like it feels good. I would love to be part of it, but I don't think they'd let me.
No, they will let you.
Okay. And I'll show up one day.
You should. And I will tell you that I sponsored the golf tournament yesterday. And there's nothing more fun than seeing a whole bunch of men and women out there laughing and golfing and embracing sport and embracing business and embracing athletics. It was a riot. The whole day was just a blast. So they put on a great event to kind of get everybody warmed up for Epic. Hey there, are you a home service business owner that's tired of your answering service just kicking the can down the road? Well, we can help. Pink Collars will assign a dedicated, supported, and trained individual to answer your phones, emails, texts, and even more. Give us a call at 888-325-7465, or better yet, check us out online, www.pinkcollars.com.